This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Nudge from ESPN Milwaukee. With me, as always, from ESPN West Palm, Brian Rowitz, and catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, Jonathan Hood. Lots of things to dive into. We had the season premiere of Monday Night Raw on USA this past Monday, and well, we were patiently waiting for Raw to arrive on Netflix, and they extended the deal to stick with Monday Night Raw on USA through the end of the year. So with that, we are going to be seeing some changes coming soon to Monday Night Raw, something that we've been clamoring for a decade at this point. Monday Night Raw is going to be 2 hours on USA through the end of the year. Don't know if it's going to be 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it's going to be on Netflix, that remains to be seen. But that's a big change. 2 hours of Monday Night Raw on the USA Network. Is this a good change for WWE?
It is a good change for WWE in the interim. Remember that Raw did not have a home because the contract was going to be up before the fall. And so they were with speculation of like the WWE Network or YouTube or someplace else. So now it's going to be extended. 2 hours is good. And I know there's a generation of fans that are not used to 2 hours of Raw. The story, Gabe, that we have found out is that when they go back to Netflix, it'll be go back to 3 hours. And that will be in January. So,
well, I think some stuff saying that there's no set time is sort of what they're floating around right now.
Whether it's true or not, I just saw a couple of things that was written. Yeah. That says when they go back to Netflix, it'll be 3 hours. 2 hours is fine. I've been waiting for this for years. 2 hours, you could tell stories quicker. You get through the story, and people will have more anticipation. 3 hours stretches it out. It was always a great play for WWE from a money standpoint, but 2 hours in the short term, totally fine.
Yeah, I agree. Like, if we have fewer video packages recapping stuff we saw earlier in the night or the week before, like, I'm 100% okay with that. I'll admit, where we are today with Monday Night Raw is light years better than 2 years ago, when 3 hours was truly torture. Now, 3 hours, like, all right, it's bearable. It's a little different when you're in person. But still, to get to 2 hours, to condense it, to make it tighter, to give us more matches and less recaps, I am 100% on board with this.
Yeah, again, like you said, in person, there were times where 3 hours was really bad. And we in Milwaukee, where I am, I feel like we're on the SmackDown rotation. We've had more SmackDown than Raw, so it's certainly flown by a little bit quicker. But it's just easier, I think, for everybody involved. Does WWE have enough talent? That, I mean, they already have, you know, 4 hours a week, and then you throw NXT in there, and they're throwing plenty of main roster down, you know, on NXT if you want to get them a little bit of work. I think it's going to be really easy, and I think that first 2 hour Raw we get is going to be a breath of fresh air because it's going to be so fast and so pacey, and all the good parts that we have of Raw for 3 hours, condense it down to two, I think it's going to be a really good show.
Wrestling should only be 2 hours. This is coming from a guy that grew up watching 30-minute and one-hour shows. So when it was 2 hours, like, boy, that's a long time. 2 hour shows, wow. But we're used to it, and I think that's exactly the right time for wrestling. And from WWE standpoint, look, this has got to be great for Triple H. You're trying to plan 8 to 10 segments instead of stretching it out. I mean, as you guys were mentioning, under Vince, it was 3 hours, and I think that they were just hemorrhaging. They're like, they love the money, but they just threw anything against the wall. At least these 3 hours in a Triple H have had some meat to it and meant something.
What was the Shane thing? Raw Underground? Was that the name of it?
Yes.
That they tried like for
Yes. Yes. So bad.
They were so desperate, just kind of coming up like, guys, we are struggling with this third hour, but we can't say no to the money. What do we do?
You don't have the Best of Underground DVD? Is that what you're saying?
I don't. I don't.
The worst thing in wrestling is trying to make something that's real. Yep. Something that's not real, real. That's exactly what they did. Tried to do a shoot thing, and it didn't work.
It did not work at all. And that's the thing. Like, where we're at now, we're, like, forcing them to tell better stories. We've seen it with the WWE pay-per-views under Hunter. Like, these are shorter PLEs, and they're making it better. We're seeing better wrestling. We're not seeing, you know, zombie matches and things like that. So I feel like it'll challenge Hunter and ultimately make it better for us as fans.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that most of the PLEs were as long as Monday Night Raw now, because that's what he does. I mean, he tries to keep it to kind of that tight 3 hours for a lot of these PLEs, except for, obviously, the big ones, right? Like obviously WrestleMania is a little different, SummerSlam a little bit different, but for Bash in Berlin, like they wanted to keep that right around 3 hours. So it makes sense that, okay, 3 hours is reserved for the big show where we're going to have a lot more wrestling and we can, and again, I think this is good for the talents. And we see, you know, Natalya giving an interview talking about where she's been, you know, over the summer for WWE after she returned in her home country this past Monday. Look, they've been great taking care of talent. We're seeing they're cutting down on house shows. This is another way to take care of talent where you don't have to have just random matches to help fill the time where, you know, we see Braun Breaker take on, you know, or Bronson Reed take on whomever for the fifth week in a row. You can eliminate a lot of those things when it's tighter and you have to be really responsible with that time that you now have.
Gabe, it's a great point. I'm glad you brought up the point that came out the last couple of days from Mark Shapiro from the front office of WWE. They are going to cut back on house shows. And I know that you have spoken glowingly about house shows, how you appreciate house shows more than when the TV cameras come to Milwaukee. Because and now they're cutting it back even more so. So they want to have less than 200 events. They feel like if you want to go home to your family, you can vacation if you want. And it's just a totally different vibe. So think about this, even just for this fall, the idea that it's just 2 hours, you could tell more stories that way, but now fewer house shows, man. You built the house shows because you put the TV show on to be able to get tickets for the house show. And then house show is supposed to be able to help you want to get the pay-per-view at some point. They're eliminating that completely. Like they're going to just outside of New York during the holidays, Chicago, certain cities, they're going to cut back on that even more so. So it's going to be pretty much a primarily television product.
Yeah. And look, I'm a little sad about the house shows. Cause like you said, if you go to a house show, it's just good fun, right? Like you're getting really quality wrestling matches. You're going to get a couple of goofy things that you don't necessarily get on TV. And I've always enjoyed them because you don't have the downtime that you have a lot of the times during the TV tapings, whether that's a 3 hour Raw or SmackDown, but for the talents, it just makes a ton of sense. If WWE doesn't need that revenue, and I mean, house shows don't exactly draw a ton of revenue, right? So WWE doesn't need that with the deals they have with Netflix and USA and CW. So from making your talent happy standpoint, especially when there's a competitor in AEW out there, like, it just makes all the sense in the world to get rid of them.
And I think that's the important part. The fact that there is another option out there. If they were making this money and there was another option, they still would be 300 house shows a year. Because like, oh, we have a bunch of money. Hey, we can make more money. But now to try and massage things a little bit, and you've made your comments about the guys that go to AEW and, you know, they're running from the grind. That's all this is. This is just a safe face. Like, hey, yeah, you can come work for us and still not to kill yourselves.
Yeah, it's too bad. Because there was that time where Chicago, Milwaukee, Green Bay, or maybe like a B show in Kenosha, but it's just like the idea they go to these certain markets. It's just like, and for the kids, if nothing else, for the kids, it's like they would never come here. Oh yeah, because it fostered a goodwill in the community. That's what Vince and all these other promoters in the past did. Like, hey man, we're never gonna bring cameras here, but if we bring an event here, it's gonna be a good crowd. The kids will like it, and they'll be connected to the show. Nowadays, man, look what you laid out, Brian. They're making money hand over fist. If they're going to do house shows, it's going to be international or just a few big markets in the United States, and that's it. You go home.
I mean, Bash in Berlin was basically a house show.
Right. It is.
They don't care. All this stuff they're making their money.
All this stuff is like house shows with cameras.
Yeah. I mean, the Raw crowd down here in Sunrise a few weeks ago, it's the most packed I've seen that arena in a long time. And I tend to avoid even going to some of the WWE shows because of what a drag they are. But that was a packed house. I'm like, oh, that's right. WWE is hot right now. Like, they are hot. They're making money. Netflix, I feel like, is going to make it even more profitable because now people might just stumble upon it where it's like, oh, what is this? Let's flip this on, and somehow you're hooked again. So they're hitting all the right notes right now.
Going to Netflix versus, like, even so, like, tonight, there's a Thursday night game in the NFL on Amazon, and I just feel like even Netflix is even more accessible than what Amazon Prime is, right? I mean, yeah, some people have it and a bunch of people are going to tune in tonight for tonight's game. But like Netflix, especially the way that you can just go watch Raw, like like you said, I think people are going to stumble across it. It just feels like it's going to be more accessible and a step in the right direction for WWE. And who knows how many hours they do there or what the structure is going to be in terms of the commercial breaks and everything they do with Netflix. But I am really curious to see what ends up when they go on Netflix. But 2 hours right now, especially, I mean, once you hit the build for WrestleMania, maybe, you know, you can stretch it to 2.5 or 3 hours in that run to WrestleMania. But at a time right now where it's kind of the WWE downtime because they're going up against the NFL and doing those things, you don't have a major show until, you know, Survivor Series War Games, which is probably the least of the pillar shows that they have now at this point. I think going to 2 hours is a really smart move.
Yep. Yeah. The other thing too is I think it was fascinating watching Monday Night Raw this past Monday. And I think it kind of gave us a glimpse into the future, guys. Remember that was commercial free that first hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the commercials are just pretty much the promos within the WWE. It went by so fast. I didn't realize, I forgot it was commercial free. And I'm just watching, I'm like, You know us as, you know, broadcasters, we're looking at the clock like 20 after, 25 after.
Anybody when you going to hit that first break, brother?
It's like, you know, it's like, and I said, oh, that's right. It's commercial free. That's right. And so I kind of think that gave us a glimpse of what Netflix could be on for Monday Night Raw. Run their stuff, Wheatley vodka here, you know, kids toys there, but pretty much giving you the wrestling content that you want.
Yeah.
We like to dive into the other top stories in the world of professional wrestling. We call it the three counts. Brian, what's number one this week?
Well, speaking of things to debate, well, it was that time of year. The PWI 500 has been unveiled. The top 10 this year from 10 to 1. Number 10, Mystico. Number 9, Gunther. Number 8, Jon Moxley. 7, MJF. 6, Damian Priest. 5, Naito. 4, Seth Rollins. 3, Will Ospreay. 2, Swerve Strickland. And number 1, Cody Rhodes. What is one change you'd make to the PWI top 10?
The biggest star in professional wrestling isn't on this list. Roman Reigns needs to be on this list. Mm. I understand he hasn't worked a full schedule. Neither has MJF, man. Like, you know, you're telling me MJF has had a bigger impact in professional wrestling than Roman Reigns this year? I understand, again, after Roman dropped the championship, he has been few and far between in his appearances in WWE, but that was still the biggest storyline. And we talk about it every week how, yeah, Cody's doing okay, but how relevant is he without the bloodline? And that's Roman Reigns, man. Like, Roman Reigns needs to be on this list. He needs to be in the top 10. If you want to make Cody number one because he finished his story and now he is the champion, I don't have a problem with that. But Roman Reigns not in the top 10? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me either. He's already, he was on a part-time schedule. Doesn't mean that he doesn't deserve to be in the top 10. I'll tell you, it should be Roman. If I'm taking someone off the list, it's definitely Naito. Mm-hmm. That's just, I mean, not a fan. One, anybody that you, I'm just not a fan because anytime that you use spitting as a high spot, I just think it's repugnant. And if I was wrestling Naito, it would get real quickly. If you spit on me as a spot and more times than not, he's a baby face and you're spitting on me. Yeah. I would choke his ass. It would be bad. It would be bad because you can do whatever else. I'm giving you my body because that's how wrestling works. I'm just whatever you want to do, but you're not going to spit on me. So I'm just not a fan. So in that spot, I mean, I would agree with you, Gabe, that Roman should be there. And if not, why is Drew McIntyre 13th?
Right.
Why is he not in the top 10? Why is Bryan Danielson not in the top 10? You don't think he busted his ass this year? You know, for 12 months? I mean,
to your point, Gabe, I don't know if you've seen the full. Would you like to guess at where Roman did fall on the list?
Is he 11?
He's not in the 500.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Roman Reigns isn't on. So they put together a list. Let me get this straight.
August 1st, 2023 to July 31st, 24 is the calendar that they include.
So they put together a list of what's their criteria? I mean, what's the list of most influential, the best?
So this is the criteria they use. August 1st of 23 to July 31st of 24 is the calendar. Win-loss record, championships won, quality of competition, major feuds, prominence within a wrestler's promotion, and overall wrestling ability.
And Roman Reigns isn't one of the top 500 wrestlers on the planet.
No. Sorry.
That makes zero sense. That makes zero sense. He is. I understand Cody has the championship, but the top star in WWE, the top star in the biggest promotion in all of professional wrestling, it's Roman Reigns. It's like, that's just a fact. That's the way it is.
No room for him. Sorry. Number 206, QT Marcel.
Okay, so let's do a cage match, Brian. Please look, go through the calendar year and see how many times that Roman appeared. And actually, it does not matter because he's held the business together, he and Cody. The whole bloodline story and Cody has held the business together. So the idea that you keep him out of the top 500 is nonsense.
So you have two nights of Mania, defending the title at the Rumble, Crown Jewel. So that's four right now. There's a house show. August 5th, defended at SummerSlam, and that is it. That's the list.
Wasn't he in War Games?
So that's five.
Was that 2 years ago?
That was two.
Okay.
So five times during their calendar, he wrestled matches on TV.
Now, you want to keep The Rock off of there. I can understand that because The Rock was not. But the idea that Roman Reigns is not even in the top 500 is now it makes the list bogus.
Like you can't.
Rocky
you
Romero can't. Made it, number 62. I couldn't know.
No offense to QT Marshall. You can't put QT Marshall on this list and not have Roman Reigns. I think QT would agree with me.
That's the Coastal Championship Wrestling World Champion right there. I think you should put some respect on QT's name.
I would say that's correct. Yep. Yes, sir.
All right, so there's that.
I just don't understand how. Why would you do that to yourself? Like, look, I understand he's on a part-time contract, and like. I don't know if you're trying to like make a point, but I don't know what point you're making other than you're dumb.
Point made.
Like, it's loud and clear. Like this list is meaningless. If you don't have Roman Reigns on it,
you know, who else is not on this list is Brody King. Couldn't make the top 500.
Yes. I saw him tweet about that.
What are we doing, guys?
You think Brody King had some good matches in the Continental Classic?
Yep.
He had some really damn good matches.
He had a trios match. Yeah, that's what he does.
Is Punk on the list?
He is not.
Okay. I was about to say, if Punk was on the list, like, I get Punk not being on the list because, although he's probably wrestled more than Roman at this point, but like, Roman Reigns is the biggest. If we put together. Okay, but just put this out there. Who are the top five stars in professional wrestling today?
Roman.
Roman's number one.
Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. Roman, Cody, Swerve. Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, I'm glad they have a criteria and like wins, losses, and titles or whatever, but like the prominence, the major feuds, the wrestling ability, like those things enough should boost you up there.
Yeah. Okay. So he didn't score well in the matches, in the win loss record. Although the win percentage isn't bad. He's only got the one loss.
Exactly.
So that's not bad. But he was in the biggest feud of the year. Main evented WrestleMania both nights.
Yep.
How was that not enough to carry the day?
And even the last few months, like the sporadic appearances, even though not wrestling, have been impactful. When he makes returns.
Yeah, because guess what? Now the biggest feud in professional wrestling is the Bloodline Civil War.
I'm looking at the list, guys. I'm just trying to figure out. It's like, we agree that Roman should be on it.
Yeah.
Where should he be on it? I mean, I think Cody deserves to be one.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Swerve Strickland's had a fine year. Again, I thought it was premature for him to be the AEW champion. I thought the Samoa Joe should have had a longer run, but it happened in Dynasty. Had a really nice run. Even before that, his work with Hangman Page deserves to be number two.
Yeah, Ospreay, it's been a top feud. Yep.
Osprey, Rollins. I'd
put him ahead of Seth. I'd put him ahead of Seth.
Damian Priest, MJF. Yeah.
Number 37 is Logan Paul. Gabe's leaving.
Gabe's
our audio audience, Gabe has left.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Logan Paul is on the list and Roman isn't?
Yeah.
Alex Shelley's ahead of him at 23.
How many times has Logan Paul wrestled?
That's what I'm like. So Roman was at five, Logan seven. That's like a full week there. Seven matches.
what memorable feud? The LA Knight feud is better than the Bloodline? And look, I love LA Knight, man. But the LA Knight feud is better than the Bloodline feud? Is that what you're trying to tell me, PWI?
Yeah, number 37, ahead of Michael Oku at 38.
Michael Oku, who's at banger after banger in the UK, by the way, down to 38. It's a trash list without Roman.
Yeah,
it really is.
Look, because honestly, I do look forward to the PWI top 10, top 500, because it's always a fun list to debate.
Yeah.
But if you're just going to undercut yourself, you can't do that. You can't just completely delegitimize yourself by saying, oh yeah, sorry, he didn't wrestle enough, when there's somebody who wrestled seven times in the top 50. And Eric just chimed in, it's Bloodline fatigue. Where's Bloodline fatigue? I haven't seen it.
The hottest storyline in the business?
Yeah, the Bloodline fatigue to me, I don't see that happening. You see Roman Reigns show up and people lose their damn minds every Friday night he shows up. I'm assuming he's going to be there tomorrow night on the and somehow have something to do with that cage match that's happening to kick off SmackDown on USA, by the way. It's going to be the first thing on the card.
McElvain at PW Insider says, Roman put us in an awkward spot. He only had 5 singles matches during the evaluation period, and the minimum is either 10 or 6 during 6 separate months. So I guess that's how Logan gets in there. Brock had a similar deal years ago and didn't make it.
Then make a damn exception, man.
Yeah,
okay, so what? He had 5 singles matches? Who cares? He had the tag match on that main event in Wrestle Freaking Mania.
So Roman was number 1 for 6 straight years. He dropped to number 2 last year and now off the list.
I don't know how he just drops off the list. Like he never was around. Like you make it seem like that he was gone for 365 days. That's just poor. But I gave you I took out somebody from 5 and I put Drew McIntyre
Drew should be up there. Certainly Drew should be up there. The work that he has done, he is a top 10 guy. As much as I love Mox, and I am the biggest John Moxley stan probably on the show, I don't know if Mox has had a top 10 year.
Yeah.
Is he on there because he won he won the IWGP Heavyweight Championship? That's probably, my guess, is the only reason he's on there.
Did the AEW win fall in this August of 23?
I think so. It's deserved, though, Gabe. He deserves to be in the top.
Okay.
Drew's the one I would have had also. I probably would have even moved up Gunther. Anything he was involved in was a big deal.
Hell,
whether it be the IC title, the NXT title stuff, and then ultimately the Mania stuff.
Hell, Jey Uso. He's 17th in this list to be in the top 10. But it's just the work that he's done. I know you don't like him. But
it's going to upset Rikishi that he's not high enough.
I think he's done great work.
Knowing the criteria of championships won and that sort of thing, him and Cody won the tag team championships and then had probably, the second greatest, post press conference moment after CM Punk eating the muffins in Chicago. But
the greatest that didn't involve pastries.
Yes. The greatest thing that does not involve pastries. Yes. When him and Cody just showed up just hammered for the post scrum press conference.
Yeet.
Fantastic. I don't think they have that as a qualification. Otherwise, maybe he would have shot up the rankings.
So happy PWI 500 day, guys.
And I remember when that thing used to be relevant, that PWI 500. When you leave the guy that really connects everything, the connective tissue to professional wrestling starts with Roman Reigns and extends out to the Bloodline, and he's not in the top 500 because of work rate, because he's not as hot as – Okada or Vikingo or some of these other guys or whatever the reason, that's just poor. He should be on the list.
Yeah.
What do we got at number? Let's just throw this away. Let's move on to number 2, Brian.
All right. This past weekend in Chicago, it was AEW All Out, which completed a couple big shows for AEW. So what was the better show top to bottom? All In or All Out?
Oh, I think it's All Out. I think All Out in Chicago ultimately came over the top. Brian, I know you and I talked about it, and after going back and watching more of the main women's match, the one that was featured with Mercedes Moné and Britt Baker, I mean, that wasn't as good as Mercedes Moné or Hikaru Shida. It wasn't as good as Stat and Willow Nightingale. I just think all up and down this card, like Danielson Perry delivered, Hangman Adam Page and Swerve Strickland really delivered. Will Ospreay Pac was probably match of the year contender. Like, I just think All Out at the end of the day, from top to bottom, delivered more than what we saw in at Wembley. It also probably hurt. Wembley also had Hook versus Jericho. There was no equivalent match at all in Chicago.
Yeah, so when you think about All Out in Chicago, guys, I mean, it was, to me, it was kind of like a rivalry card, meaning that it was a blood feud. Like, you think about, so from Adam Page and Swerve Strickland, the controversy around that, to a matchup that it was way better than I thought it was going to be with Nightingale and Statlander, the Chicago Street Fight. They went above and beyond to put that match over. They were tremendous. From the Young Bucks and Blackpool Combat Club, which I thought was a very solid tag team matchup. You know, I love tag team wrestling. I think it's very good. For just to start the card with MJF and Daniel Garcia, I think it kind of goes to show everybody that shorter is better. I think Triple H is showing you that. This is a shorter card than All In, is it not?
Yes.
I think that
different.
I mean, I'm seeing 12 matches here.
8 matches on the main card for All Out. All In had, well, I guess All In had 9.
I think that's because of the matches. Like, I think at Wembley, we had a lot of downtime. Like, the Jericho match, like you mentioned, Mercedes and Britt sort of underwhelmed. I'd even say the tag match at Wembley wasn't great. Like, it just sort of abruptly ended. So, like, in that situation, it feels longer. There was no downtime in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. And all those matches had meaning. That is for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, this is nothing against Danielson Strickland, because that was a great match. Think of, again, we talked about the stipulations, guys. It's title versus career, which is great. Will Ospreay against MJF delivered. Absolutely. To see Nigel McGuinness back in the ring. Also very interesting.
Yes.
But no, I would say that Chicago, I think that was the better card of the two. And that says something. 8,000 in Chicago.
Right.
45 to 50,000 people in Wembley. And it's like the other card, the smaller card with the smaller audience was better.
And I think it leads to the discussion of what is their Mania/Super Bowl?
See, I always thought it was All Out. I always thought, even though the first show that AEW ever had was Double or Nothing in Vegas, I always felt All Out in Chicago was it, because it was really just a derivative of the original All In. And it was in the same building, you know, 10,000 plus people just about every time. Obviously not this time around, but they still ended up getting a very good crowd, kind of rallied at the end, I think, to get, you know, to get close to that 10,000 mark. But it's hard to say that All In isn't, I mean, All In is. I mean, they don't run any of those stadium shows. Like, All In,
and
that brand, because, again, now they've done it twice at Wembley, they're going to do it not at a football stadium, but at a baseball stadium still in Dallas next year. So All In is the biggest show that they do, because it's the biggest arenas that they go to.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I always thought Double or Nothing was their big show, because it was in Vegas so often.
Are they shuffling that around next year?
I don't know, because they always do like this casino theme with everything, right? Like, so it feels like they have to keep that one in Vegas.
You know, they're 5 years old, and we shouldn't have to be searching with both hands to try to determine what is their biggest show. I think that, but again, if you're the company, this is our biggest show. Does that mean that because you're at a stadium, that's your biggest show? You have to identify that. This is why McMahon, whatever you think of Vince, WrestleMania was the biggest thing. Madison Square Garden, WrestleMania. Well, why is it big? It's because it's got all the stars. It's got all the pageantry and all that. You know, everything doesn't have pageantry. This is why when Tony Khan tells us in press conference that this card, this show, you know, this wrestler is the greatest we've ever seen, the best we've ever done. I know that's promoting, but at some point, that's the boy that cried wolf.
Right.
Yeah, like something has to be your cornerstone. If you don't watch any other show this year, this is our show.
Yeah. I go back to, I always just felt it was All Out. I mean, not last year, because last year was just kind of a throwaway card because of it being a week after All In. But and again, maybe it's because I'm in Milwaukee and it's in Chicago and I've been there so many times for it. But All Out is where we got CM Punk in a ring to wrestle for the first time in damn near a decade. It's where Bryan Danielson debuted. It's where Adam Cole debuted for AEW. It's where Chris Jericho was crowned the first ever AEW champion. Like, All Out in Chicago has had a lot of big milestones for the company, and that's why I always viewed it that way. But again, I think I have to shift gears, because if it's going to be a stadium show, that's clearly the biggest thing that they do.
I do wonder, though, if this TV deal, whenever it gets closed, and there's always the rumors about pay-per-views moving to Max, does that change things? Because the mold they're in now, they want you to spend that $50 every pay-per-view. So they want every show to be a marquee show. If you're now paying whatever it is a month for Max and getting every show, do they say, okay, we can take a month off and it doesn't need to be this banger after banger and we focus on just one?
I'm not convinced that. I mean, if it's on Max, I don't know if it's going to be free on Max.
You think you still have to pay additional?
I think you may have to pay additional, much like if you have ESPN Plus, you don't get the UFC fights. You got to pay additional for that.
That's fair.
I would not be shocked if maybe it's a little bit less of them, but I would not be shocked if you still would have to pay additionally for the pay-per-views. And again, I don't know anything. That's just a guess on my part.
I didn't think about that, but that does make sense.
You know, the whole thing with AEW pay-per-views, as we all know, is that they're great. They're bangers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You may not have liked what you saw with Swerve and Hangman, the aftermath of that, the whole lights out match. You might not have liked it. Maybe you just like the pure wrestling that they give you, all the stuff that they do. But you know what's happening, guys, is that AEW has really tried to modern themselves after the UFC model, right? Yeah. It's like, here's our card, and here's banger after banger, and you're going to pay through the nose for it. Is it worth it? Yeah. Is it $50 on Triller TV? Yeah. It's worth it because they give you everything you want. You don't feel like you're shortchanged because the men and women there, they give you great action. But here's the thing. You're not UFC. You're not even WWE, you know, as far as that's concerned. Like, $50 a month, because that's what it's averaging now. Aren't they doing like 10, 11 pay-per-views a year? Mm-hmm. That's a ton. It's a ton.
That's asking a lot from your fan base. And at least with All In, All Out, Triller did. I mean,
yes,
it saved $15, but $15 is $15. You got, if you knew you were going to get both, you could buy both right away and just pay $85 versus $50 for both.
They're also doing one for the final three of the year, which I think is like 25% off. So, like, you've got that going. But then, like, the weird part for me is that, like, in 2 weeks when they're running Arthur Ashe, that's a pay-per-view quality card. So, like, I've never been the one like, oh, don't give that stuff away on free TV. I'm going to buy all these regardless. But if you are someone that isn't going to buy everyone, you don't need to when you're going to get a card like we're going to get in 2 weeks at Arthur Ashe. You're going to get Mox and Darby. You're going to get the Bucks versus Fletcher and Ospreay. And you're going to get Nigel McGuinness returning to the ring on free TV.
Are we talking about this now, what you just laid out, or is this a different segment?
No, I think we dive into it now. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So at a 24,000-seat arena in the Rupp Arena in Lexington, in which 2,900 people were there, God almighty, it's horrible. So I'm confused, and maybe you guys can help me.
Probably not.
I thought, then he has to go then. Brian, you got to help me. So because why is it that John Moxley tells Darby Allin, like, you know, Bryan Danielson, he's disposed. He's not going to be around for Wembley. I'm sorry, he's not going to be around for Arthur Ashe.
Uh-huh.
So this is for an opportunity for Moxley to get the number one contendership or a title match against Bryan Danielson, because he's not going to be around. But then later on the night, Nigel McGuinness announces that there's going to be a match against the indisposed, not available Bryan Danielson on the same card. What happened there on the same show?
The way I'm going to explain it, and they've done no due diligence at explaining it, so this is all just theory and throwing stuff against the wall, is that Nigel and Mox were working together. They essentially tricked Darby. And it was a mind game. Like, oh, yeah, he's not good to go. So that's why Darby was willing to put up the shot. And they still cover themselves a little, saying, like, oh, Nigel and Bryan will happen if Bryan is cleared.
But, okay.
So there's that.
Is that a legitimate way to go? Certainly.
Yeah. But and then you get Darby versus Bryan in Washington. I think this is awesome.
But Hunter, I think, would do it where at least backstage segment, see Mox talking with Nigel. Like, actually have them interact instead of going, oh, crap, how are we going to explain this now? Like, that's – and look, it's getting us something that we want. Because I think every wrestling fan – we've talked about it here. Like, okay, when's Nigel going to get cleared? The second Nigel got cleared and the second Danielson won that championship at Wembley, everybody went, all right, we're going to get Nigel versus Bryan. Like, we're going to get it. Awesome. But, like, let's get there in a way that makes sense. Like, let's build that in a way that makes sense.
Not on the same show. You can't have this on the same show. You can't have Moxley saying, you know that Bryan's not cleared. And I know, Darby, you'll never be World Heavyweight Champion. Yep. So I need that championship opportunity right now. Nope, I'll wrestle you for it.
I had no problem with that segment. That segment, okay, that makes sense to me. We're going to sell, you know, Bryan's not going to be there. You're going to sell the attack after, you know, after Dan, you know, after Mox turned on him and they did the whole thing. Okay, then he's not available in a couple weeks. I'm down with that. And I'm down with him. Okay, he wanted to talk to Darby. This is why he wanted to talk to Darby, because he wants that title shot. And, you know, Darby going to be the baby face that puts it on the line. Okay, that's all fine. That all makes sense. But then you undo all of that good and turn it to crap by having Nigel McGuinness come out with a contract for Bryan Danielson. It just doesn't make any sense.
If they next week explain it, does that make you feel better? Because a few weeks ago, I was confused as why Darby was getting a shot, because that felt wasted at Arthur Ashe. And it feels like they only gave him a shot because, like, oh, we have two rings. Let's do a special match. And, you get a world title shot.
Oh, okay. So the good of this is Nigel McGuinness saved the show. Promo of his life, right?
Yeah.
The whole contract in the back pocket, the 2,900 people that were there erupted, knowing that we're going to see Nigel McGuinness wrestle again against Bryan Danielson. Again, Moxley says he's not going to be there, and all of a sudden now he's going to be there. So here's how it's going to lay out, guys. It's going to be, we're going to get the dream match of Nigel McGuinness against Bryan Danielson, in which Danielson will go over, and we're going to get Moxley losing to Darby.
Yep.
Darby wrestles Danielson. Darby wins the championship at WrestleDream. Now listen, and here's why. Moxley said, you'll never be World Heavyweight Champion. So you know what that means? At some point, he's going to be World Heavyweight Champion. Now, listen, I can't see it. The fuzzy pink coat and like and the Daredevil going to be the World Heavyweight Champion at AEW. You want to do that, that's fine. Bryan respects Darby. Darby's from that area. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's where they're going, that we're going to see Darby as World Champion.
Darby can't win. Mox has to win. Otherwise, you just completely undercut this brand new faction that you just started.
Yes. So, like, I was originally pitching for Darby Bryan in Washington. I think that makes sense. But Darby winning means Bryan's done in October.
He's going to have neck surgery at the end of the year. That's legit.
I still think the end of the road that we're circling is January in Tokyo.
It still could be without him being AEW champion.
I mean, Mox.
Yeah, you're Mox turning. Mox, though.
You know, like Mox isn't losing that match. Like, I can't imagine Mox. I can't imagine they go through all of this, and then Mox loses his first match as a part of the white T-shirt gang or whatever they're going to call themselves.
It doesn't make sense to me either, Gabe. But can you see in your mind's eye Darby Allin is AEW champion?
No, I can't. And I don't know how I feel, because the thing that went through my head the second that Mox put the bag over Bryan Danielson's head in Chicago is that, oh, Mox is going to retire Danielson.
Mm.
And I don't know how I felt about that. As a Mox fan, like, he doesn't need it.
No.
Right? Like, we talked about it here. Well, I was kind of hoping it would be young. And Darby Allin doesn't need it either. So I don't know how I feel about if Mox is the guy, if Darby's the guy. I don't know who all I have arrived at least in my own head, of who I want to be the one to retire Bryan Danielson. But I'm sure, by the way, Bryan Danielson has already planned that out. Like, whoever he's losing to, Danielson already knows who that guy is.
It's Bryan.
That's what you talk about needing it. Like, that'd be a hell of a moment for Darby.
It's in the Pacific Northwest where he's from.
Yeah.
He was either going to be Swerve. Yes. He already won the title from Swerve. And that's going to, you know how it works in AEW, you don't get a rematch. So it's either Swerve or Darby. Yeah, sure. Sure. Absolutely. 20-year-old Nick Wayne. Friend of the show, by the way, Nick Wayne.
That's right. I meet him in person.
So, guys, I don't see it either. But this is where the way that Mox talked to Darby, talked down to Darby, saying, like, you'll never be world heavyweight champion. So you're going to just hand over the title shot because you know, I need it. You don't. You'll never win. The way he talked to him, it made me think that this is going to happen at WrestleDream. It's going to be in Tacoma. It's in the Pacific Northwest. And I don't know how Darby beats Bryan Danielson, how he does it, but I think it's going to happen. This will not be the Sting send-off, clearly, that he got. This is going to be Danielson losing the championship. It's what I've been telling you guys for months now.
So yeah, Danielson's going out on his back. There's no doubt in my mind there. How the bleep does Darby even beat Mox?
Right. That thing, I feel like AEW throws these ideas out, and then they're like, ah, crap. Like, we're pinned in a hole right now. Like, we don't know which way to go. And sometimes things work out. Like, we talked about Chicago and how well things worked out with Stat and Willow, with MJF and Garcia. Like, it all worked out. But now it feels like they have all these different directions, and they're all going to the same spot. It's like, well, we can't do this, but we can't do that, but we can't do this. So, Nigel, you're up. Like, they're just confused right now.
It's got to be somebody that Danielson respects. He respects a lot of guys. Well,
yeah, everybody. That could be anyone in the locker room.
I was going to say, that could be Jeff Jarrett. That could be anybody, right?
I saw a Willow quote today that she said in an imaginary intergender match, she'd love to wrestle Brian. I'm sure Brian would give her the title. Like, you can't put it on Brian. Like, he's not the good judge of this.
I think Darby, you know, and Mr. Doozy chimes in. He says that Darby wins and Christian cashes in the contract.
Yeah, but Darby's not winning at Arthur Ashe. Like, what? Let's not skip over that. Darby's losing his title shot.
I don't know.
He's not beating Mox.
If Darby beats Mox, how much does that hurt Mox? Doesn't hurt him at all because he's going to be under this. He's under
it
this
doesn't
new
hurt
regime.
Mox, but it hurts the entire regime. It undercuts everybody.
Listen, he's part of this new regime with Shane McMahon, so it doesn't hurt him at all.
Shane's the leader of this.
We forgot about, there's another thing out there.
Jesus, Shane's, I didn't know we were going Shane.
Well, I mean,
mastermind.
Well, I mean, he leans in to Tony. He's talking through Tony Schiavone to talk to Tony Khan, saying, this is not your company anymore. Then what does Pac say on Wednesday? He says that we're taking this thing over. Okay. So what
so
does
you're
that mean?
Shane retire, Brian?
No, we don't want to see Shane in the ring.
I quit.
Yeah.
I quit. I'm not doing this show.
I'm just telling you that this is Shane's new regime with John Moxley and company in this new look BCC. And also, by the way, as an aside to all of this, did you notice, guys, watching Dynamite? We're going back to WCW 2000. So you're going to do promo shitting on the company.
Yeah.
Why would Mox do that? Is it like all these big egos, blah, 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 talking about how the company, just paraphrasing, saying that it's not going in the right direction, that kind of thing. Why would you do that? That you think that's good creative? You're having a hard time getting butts in seats in a lot of these markets, including Milwaukee. A great wrestling market, by the way, Milwaukee. And even the Brewers fans like, nah, I'm good. Brewers are on. I'm not watching this. You guys will be back, but I don't need to see this. You're in a lot of these markets drawing around 3,500 people. Arthur Ashe used to be sold out. How many people are going to get? What is it lately on WrestleTix? 5,000?
That wasn't great. Yeah.
5,000? So what I'm saying is, like, you don't shit on the company. Even in storyline, you have to be able to curry favor. What they did there was wrong, I thought, on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go after the EVPs, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to go after that, you know, then you're just going after the elite. You're not going after AEW as a whole.
That's correct.
You know, if that's something you want to do. But I think they're more aligned almost with the with the elite, just because Mox told Jack Perry, he thought he was a good kid 2 weeks ago. I don't know the direction of this new faction, but I just don't think you can undercut him by having him lose the first match that they're going to wrestle. That's Arthur just not asked, how by any the of that way, works.
Last check WrestleTix 4 hours ago, 4,400 of the 5,700.
Oh, 4,400 of the
57.
Ooh. 50, oh, okay. Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, but I think we've seen 10,000 in there, have we not?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They
but now they're going to start buying them. You're getting Nigel versus Bryan. Ignore storytelling. We're getting Nigel versus Bryan. That'll sell tickets.
We'll get the dream match.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing about that, too. Also,
and he's bringing Oasis with him.
Here's the it's so layered, guys. Here's the last layer. The last layer of that is we get the dream match, right? Danielson, mm-hmm. McGinnis, non-title in New York. Non-title? You can't do that.
Title?
No, non-title.
Oh. As of right now, it doesn't seem like it's a title match.
Just
again,
call it a title match. What are we doing?
Non-title. You can't go to New York and say, here's a dream match, and now put the title on the line. That sucks, too. Like it's a big market, Gabe. You don't go in there like, here's your dream match. Was the title on the line? Because, again, the buildup is that since day one of Collision, Nigel McGuinness has been going after Bryan Danielson. And Danielson said nothing. He said zero about this. Now we're going to get this match, and the title's not on the line? Bad job.
Will Ospreay tweets, by the way, one thing I just want to scream right now, but it's way too cool. I'm going to be on the same card with Bryan Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness. That's wild. See? He's excited, bruv.
Yes. A great match in pitcher-in-pitcher. Is that not a pay-per-view quality match, Gabe Neitzel?
It's a pay-per-view quality card.
Right.
Okay. But in pitcher and pitcher.
they put themselves in a hole, man. I just.
Yeah. We just talked about a lot. Yeah, of course. When it gets to the pay-per-view or whatever the event is, yes, we're going to enjoy it. But we just laid out a lot of stuff. They're trying to make this kind of seismic change slowly toward Shane. At some point, but it is.
There's no way. No. There's no way. There's no way Mox is agreeing to work with a McMahon.
I don't know why you don't listen to me. I mean, I'm giving you just pearls of wisdom, and you just swat them away.
Will they have gas masks with the white t-shirts?
Hopefully. And by the way,
I didn't even put two and two together. Yes. The last time the guy was wearing a white t-shirt.
That's right.
Oh, the gas mask. Oh, no.
The gas mask.
That's right. Oh, God. It might be the same white t-shirt.
I cannot. I'm a wrestling
probably
fan.
Probably.
I'm a wrestling fan, Brian Rhodes. I can't wait to get to the merch stand and get one of those white t-shirts. So you got a new faction and don't even have any hell, they didn't even wear the BCC stuff most times.
No, they
so
never did.
I can't wait to get that V-neck t-shirt looking like Mel Sharples from Alice to be able to have that on. I cannot wait for that.
But think what that shirt will look like when Mox bleeds from just, you know, walking through the crowd.
Mox gets his way, doesn't he? Got Marina Shafir on board.
That's
remember that
girl.
Whole thing we read about 6 months ago? It's like, I really like this Marina Shafir.
She's barefoot.
She sucks.
He was very impressed that she wrestled without shoes. That was his big takeaway. And now
wasn't I thought that was I thought that was Martinez.
No, it's her.
That was Shafir. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like, okay, what is she gonna do? Well, one thing she can put somebody in a sleeper. We saw that on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Who was that? We got Private Party and Commander.
Yeah.
Commander went to sleep.
Yeah.
Poof. What a mess. What a mess this company. But once they get in the ring, it's going to be great.
I'm excited.
It's just something.
For Marina Shafir Commander?
Uh-huh. That's a good Mania weekend match at some bingo hall.
I agree.
What do we have at number three, Brian?
All right, going around the social media this week, people were speculating what a current day NWO would look like with this current WWE roster, the one that was trending the most, John Cena, Randy Orton, CM Punk. Who would you guys put in your current day NWO with this WWE roster?
We're, of course, just talking about like three, right? Because
yeah,
not like...
Not 27. Not like...
So I thought it would be fun if it started off with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and those were kind of the two kind of wreaking havoc, and then Seth Rollins would be the the Hulk Hogan figure that turned his back on the rest of everybody else. Cause he always thought that he would step up for everybody. He'd be, you know, especially after the last time he was world heavyweight champion, gave that speech, he's the fighting champion, all these different things. And Rollins is the one who joins Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens trying to take down the rest of WWE.
I wrote down Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Montez Ford, with Logan Paul on the outside looking in on his way in. Dominant because you've got the part-timer.
Logan Paul's X-Pac?
Yes. He's doing like, he's there for just the crotch chops a million times. And the drugs. So then there's Drew.
Allegedly? Maybe?
Oh,
allegedly.
Allegedly.
With X-Pac, it's not alleged. That he's talked about it very openly.
No, he's trying to protect us. I appreciate that. Just, producer, host, lawyer. Thank you, barrister. So Drew, Montez Ford, Randy Orton, and Logan Paul on the outside.
Looking so up. I had the same mindset as you, Gabe, about that person that would turn. I had it as being Cody.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Heel Cody?
Oh, man.
I also agree with Drew, and I throw Bronson Reed in there. I feel like they're sort of pushing him. You could do some stuff with him. But Drew, Bronson, and Cody is the lead guy whose name we don't have to mention.
The one tweet I did see, I think, around this where somebody had said Cody, that the first time heel Cody steps up to a microphone and says, "So, what do you guys want to talk about?" is really going to hit.
Yeah.
Like the boos are going to rain down whenever we get heel Cody. I mean, because heel Cody's going to have to, it's kind of funny because like he was a heel initially and that's why he had the blonde hair.
Right.
Like when he left WWE and was just Cody on the independents, he was a heel. But he would have to go back. If he turned heel in WWE, he'd have to go back to the black hair, right?
Yeah, yes. I guess.
And
yeah.
He'd be happy about that because he hates dyeing his hair. He hates it. So now your merchandise sales now with that idea is down 40%.
No, people would buy NWO shirts again.
Same
like change
font?
The color a little bit. You got to change it a little.
Change what,
the CWO, the Cody World Order?
Yeah, there you go.
You know what? You got something there.
Yeah.
You got something there. I like it. I like it. Cody is a heel. Let's see. Last time was it Japan? With the
Bullet Club.
The Bullet Club. He was Bullet Club.
Uh-huh.
And a little bit in the indies here or there. I like Cody as a heel.
I agree. I think he's great as a heel. I keep seeing clips pop up now that I watch him when it happened, but like he was heel and Impact. I saw some stuff with like him and Brandy going back and forth. Like I love heel Cody.
I like that. So of course you have to replace that that baby face. So who would take his place in that spot? If it happened today.
So then who would be the Sting? Who would play the Sting role, I guess, is what we're asking here.
Yeah.
Your guy, Main Event Jay. He'd be the face of the company and lose every week and never get the big one.
You're terrible.
What? You're He's so over. Bad.
I don't understand.
He'd be in the main event and not win matches.
It is kind of funny to call him Main Event Jey Uso, who's never in the main event, right?
Right. He was this week and he got a W.
Yeah, he was this week. Come on now.
I'm talking about what it counts, the PLEs.
It was a season premiere. What counts more than that?
Yeah, hey, new season. He's one for one.
The PLEs. What counts more than that?
It was the season premiere. The new season starts now.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Opening day.
Who knows? Maybe at Bad Blood, he'll be not in the main event.
No, not in the main event. He's not going to be in that cell.
Season premiere. Like we're talking about One Tree Hill or something. God almighty, season premiere. It's the same wrestling show we watch every week. Nothing, I mean, stop it. But
I feel like it's around this time every year, but it's never like consistent. Like no. If it was like, oh, the first Monday of every, you know, there's a second Monday of every September. That's our, no, it's sometimes it's October. Sometimes it's whatever they call it. The season.
They just pick. They don't know.
No, it makes it seem like that we've been tuned out for the spring and summer. Oh, the fall season. Here we go. It's back on now. It's been on every week. And so what's more odd? The wrestling press conference or the season premiere of wrestling we've been watching for 52 weeks in a row?
Season premiere.
Yeah.
It's just so strange. So I think that's a good list. So do you like the Montez Ford deal? Because we waited for him to turn heel.
Yeah, has that ship sailed? Because it feels like it under Hunter.
I think the company is sour to Montez Ford.
And I don't know why.
Yeah. Is that reality show a thing? Did that start? Anyone watching that?
No. This is GKW.
I think that went away.
If you want to bring someone on to be able to break those shows down, sure. But not the three of us. We're busy.
Well, you're going to have to watch it if we get Bianca on.
Oh, that's right.
Say? It was both of them. Oh, that's
right. Well, we just won't ask you those questions. So, no, but I think that they've soured on Montez Ford. I think even before Vince left, I thought that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're breaking up anytime soon, right? So
I'm here to let you, by the way, you guys missed it. The eight episodes were released February 2nd of 24. So let's get to it, okay? It's on Hulu and Disney Plus.
I'm not asking her anything about that show.
Love and WWE, Bianca and Montez. You think they still want to promote it 6 months later?
Yes.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
Okay.
Yes. I love to talk to her. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, they've soured on Montez, certainly. Because, I mean, the Street Profits, I mean, they had the opportunity, but they lost right away. I don't know where the direction, you know, at least they were trying to like put him with Bobby Lashley. And that made sense because they would kind of give him a rub, but now Lashley's gone. And I mean,
they're involved with Bloodline. That's a plus, right? To be in that.
But they're just a placeholder in the Bloodline, right? Well, like yes, they came out to rescue Cody, but it's just a placeholder until
they're around and in the same stratosphere. That seems like a positive. No,
no.
Okay.
Because they're not actually involved in a storyline.
And I don't know how
they got attacked at NXT on Tuesday.
I don't know how that works for a couple of guys that could really work well for them not to be into something meaningful for the tag team titles. I mean, how is that the Outrunners are more over than those other two?
Have they defended those titles?
Who?
G.O.D.?
No, they have not.
Fatu gave it to the other one.
Yeah,
that was a big part of this title run, and then that's it.
No, they beat
the Street Profits.
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, that SmackDown.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because Profits got the opportunity. I think the next week wrestled, and they lost.
It wasn't a season premiere, so they didn't count the same.
It's the end of the season. I didn't watch the season finale.
Wrestling in reruns. That'd be something in the summer. Just tune out until the fall.
Yeah.
Quickly, before we get to news and notes, I do just want to shout out Gunther's promo because I don't know if I've laughed at anything in wrestling as hard as I laughed when he said, of course, my favorite of all time is none other than Bill Goldberg. Like, I thought they're in Canada. Yes, I understand they weren't in Montreal, but they were in Canada. They had Bret Hart out there. I just assumed because, again, Shawn's still within the company. He would just say, oh, Shawn Michaels, and make a screw job reference. Like, okay, whatever. But for him to actually say Bill Goldberg, to take the shot at Goldberg on television, it was just – to call him Bill was
– yes.
Just the delivery. Like, he had the wry smile right before he said it. Like, he couldn't help himself. It was spectacular.
I felt like Bret was about to break also, almost like he knew. Like, he looked like he was containing a little. But the Bill part, 100%, because you can find that on social. Bret, every interview will make sure to tell you how much he hates Bill Goldberg. So to work that in, bravo.
In 5 days, you will get a shoot interview from Bret saying he didn't know it was coming and he's going to hate everybody again and burn the world down. That's what he got to do. I'm standing there, and then all of a sudden, this big goof, this Gunter, and he says Bill Goldberg, and I'm just standing there stunned because that's how we went over in the back. And that's complete bullshit. Dumbasses in WWE. Nothing's really changed. This is bullshit. It'll be something like that.
Okay. I look forward to that.
He'll be upset again. I enjoyed it too. I loved it because it was comedic timing was perfect.
Oh, yeah, it was perfect. So good. I didn't see it coming. I had no idea it was coming. It was spectacular. All right, what do we got news and notes this week, Brian?
All right, talking about season premieres. Well, October 1st in Chicago, the NXT debut on the CW. That card's starting to come together. We already knew CM Punk will be on that show. We have now learned Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair will be making an appearance. Miz TV will be a part of it. Match-wise, the NXT title on the line, Ethan Page defends against Trick Williams. The women's title, Roxanne Perez versus Julia. And we'll have a street fight between Wesley and Zachary Wentz.
Man, people were really interested in Julia, huh? Tuned in big time.
Big time.
On USA Chelsea. To check her out. I'm actually giving friend of show Chelsea more credit there.
That's right.
Yeah. People were tuning in to see Chelsea wrestle.
I watched it. Me too. I turned it on. I'm just interested in see because I haven't seen a lot of Julia. I'm not familiar with her work. And a
lot of hype around her.
Pretty good. And you take on a veteran like Chelsea Green. You know what Chelsea told us? She's like, she ain't worried about championships. She just wants to tell stories.
Right.
She's already got money. She's got Matt Cardona's money. She just wants to tell stories. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. I want to see more of Julia because, you know, the Meltzers of the world tell us that she's the greatest of all time and she's great, great. Okay, let's take a look. I just, Gabe, you know how the ratings work with the CW. I don't know what the highest ratings ever been for LIV Golf. I know the CW is
not good.
It's low, right? Not good, yeah. Right? Okay. So I don't know what the WWE is trying to do here. Like, you're not going to – NXT will never be number one at its time slot on Tuesday because it's on the CW. It will never happen. They will never be number one in their time slot.
They're not. Yeah. Will they be more accessible now?
Are they running on the app too?
I don't know. Is the CW more accessible than USA?
Technically, yes, but CW is also not in every market.
Oh, okay.
USA is in more markets than CW. Gotcha. But they're loading up the card anyway.
Yeah.
They're loading up. I mean, they don't have to, but they're loading up the card anyway. It just, it's a little bit of a step back on the CW, but it is on network TV in some markets. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the vast reach of USA, but they're doing it anyway because it's WWE.
Yeah, I mean, Roxanne and Julia, like, that's a pay-per-view quality match for them, and we're going to get that there.
CW, give them credit, though. They're really trying to bolster their sports profile. Mm-hmm. With the ACC football, the golf, the racing, wrestling. I mean, for what they are, they're trying to give a bigger profile than they ever have before.
And the NWA.
What's next, Brian?
All right, elsewhere, MVP at a virtual signing was talking about being paired with Omos, and he said, quote, "If you can't make money with that, then you're just an idiot." Talking about Omos.
Wait, so is Omos going to join the Hurt Collective or whatever they're going to call themselves?
No, I learned from this. Omos is still under contract. He still works there.
Really?
Yeah, he's there. but please keep cutting down house shows, though. Right. I mean, he should be in NXT. That's where he should be.
Mm. Correct.
But correct. If he's not even good enough to be on NXT and you're cutting down house shows, where is he going to work?
Mm.
Yeah. In 2002, could you have made money with Omos? Sure. I think WWE made money with the Great Khali, right? Oof. Right? They did. But if you are big, you could make money then. Being big's not enough in 2024.
No. And I think we saw that. Like,
yeah,
he wrestled Brock at Mania. Like, that was the thing that happened.
I was going to say, I was going to make the joke friend of the show, Omos, but I don't think he liked being on with us.
No, yeah, that's right. He did once appear. You could check that out on YouTube. He was technically on this show.
Don't think he liked being on with us. I don't think.
The word count was not high during that interview for him.
No. But friendly chap everywhere else, but just not with us for whatever reason. So.
Time for Gabe to clear out his schedule. According to the Milwaukee Business Journal, the city of Milwaukee putting together a bid to bring Money in the Bank to Wisconsin next year. The last PLE they hosted was Fastlane back in 2017. They are hoping that if this goes well, it could lead to bigger events in the future.
AmFam Field?
No, Fiserv. So they would do it at Fiserv. So Fiserv Forum would be for Money in the Bank. And I think once they get AmFam Field winterized, I think obviously, I mean, they've talked about this before. They had representatives in Philadelphia for WrestleMania. Clearly, they want a Royal Rumble at AmFam Field once the improvements to that stadium have been made. So I think if this goes well, which hopefully they get it, and hopefully it does, then Milwaukee can get one of the pillar events of WWE.
I know I got to wait, but I want SummerSlam in Milwaukee. That's what I want.
Yeah, because I mean, they could do that at Amfam Field, but it seems like they want to do that at football stadiums.
Yeah.
That's a nice stadium, though, right there. I mean, like,
oh, look.
You're not getting
an argument from me.
Summerfest and SummerSlam, like, within the same, like, time. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
If they do end up there, it's R-Truth that's on the slide, right?
Of course.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Shout out to R-Truth. I don't know if you saw him live commenting during Shannon Sharpe's thing yesterday.
He also had a live Instagram feed today that might have reenacted said moment.
Incident?
Yes, incident. There you go.
Shout out to Michelle.
So Fastlane, by the way, that Fastlane card featured Bill Goldberg in Milwaukee.
Oh, good.
He speared Kevin Owens to win the Universal Championship.
For those that are listening in Milwaukee in the city council, you want to have an infusion of huge cash coming to the state of Wisconsin? Get the PLE in Milwaukee. Let's go. As a Chicagoan, I'm only 90 minutes away. Let's go. I will be there because it's easy. It's easy access, mm-hmm. and it'll be fun. And then everything around the stadium. All the restaurants and bars, it's a win-win. Yeah. It can be a destination city if Wisconsin wants it.
Clip
that and put that on the truth.
Man, we've come a long way on this show. From Hood being the Milwaukee heel to now singing his praises, we've come a long, long way.
I have no problem with Milwaukee, as you well know. I have no problem with it because I think that's great for the city.
Mm-hmm. Finally, in news and notes, Brian Danielson, in an interview with Inside the Ropes, was asked about not getting a chance to work with CM Punk in AEW. He said, quote, sad isn't the right word. It was something that I thought was going to happen that didn't happen. So it's like it would have been really cool and really fun for me.
Yeah, they've always had a good relationship. I think of when Danielson won his first World Heavyweight Championship in WWE, and one of the Raws came out. It was Punk and Zack Ryder, I think, was the U.S. champion, and Bryan Danielson, like the three unlikely champs, I think, is the kind of how they were celebrating themselves. They've always had a good relationship, and yeah, it's unfortunate that between their two injuries and then obviously Punk's other issues, it just never timed out right.
Would have been nice, but you know, and now I'm thinking that we'll never get it. That fair
no.
to say?
No.
Yeah.
Not even indies or anything like that. I don't think we'll ever see it again. Maybe the opportunity to see it.
No, because I don't think Danielson ends up back in WWE. You know, if he does this part-time stuff, you know, it's going to be, I think, with New Japan and, you know, sporadically with AEW.
Agreed.
What did you guys have as your matches of the week?
Well, this includes
just pretty much the all out card, or
yeah, I was gonna say, I think that's what it is. So the best match on the card involves Will Ospreay. What a shock!
Oh,
yeah,
wow, really?
Right. Ospreay Pack, which is probably match of the year,
it's up there.
I mean, it's definitely in the team photo, that's for sure.
Yeah,
we have not discussed your overall thoughts on the lights out steel cage match.
Oh, it was so. How did you guys feel? I know this was a big talking point, you know, about the violence. Even Mercedes Moné in an interview was talking about how that wasn't necessarily her cup of tea, but then she's like, well, I understand now, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, because the Chicago Street match, which was also very violent, was one of my favorite matches, and I think it was great. How did we feel about the hypodermic needle coming out to be the part of the conclusion of that match?
I was not bothered by it, but it's just so indie-rific. It just shows you there's no checks and balances in AEW. You could say no to that spot if you're Tony Khan, but they just allow it to happen. There's so much violence. And my whole joke was, yeah, have this match. This has to be the blow-off. Don't come back on Dynamite the next week with a one-fall 30-minute. Like that, they can't wrestle again. This should be the end of the. Anytime there's a cage that's erected, that is the end of the feud. But when you go to that part, like the needle was really hard to watch, but also the cinder block was even worse.
Yes. So that's like, for me, that stuff doesn't bother me. Like, it had to get to that level of the violence or the extremeness. It didn't feel necessary. Like, even the needle, like the visual was one of those where it's like, it's not really doing it. Like, I get what they're going for, but like just taking out the grill, I feel like would have been enough of like a, whoa, I can't believe they did that. But I understand why people are bothered. It did not bother me.
go ahead.
It didn't bother me. I just felt it was unnecessary. And like you said, it just didn't. I don't think it delivered what they wanted it to deliver. Right. And the unprotected hair headshot, probably don't need that in 2024.
Yeah.
Like they've done that.
The chair was shaved, brother. It's okay. It was safe. Apparently they talked to Chris Nowitzki about it. I guess it's fine.
But so this is at least the third time they've done this.
Yeah.
Cause Cody took one and that was supposed to be gimmicked and it caught him weird. Right. And then there's blood everywhere. Cause it like hooked on his ear or whatever. And
I can't remember. War Games one.
Yeah. There was a War Games one or Blood and Guts one.
But yeah.
Whatever,
I'm blanking on who it was, but when they like tied.
But there was another one because this was a discussion point then. Like the visual of the unprotected headshot in 2024 with a chair. I don't care if the chair's gimmicked, you just don't.
They're mindful of it. Like it was an intentional like cutaway from the camera.
Yeah.
So like they are mindful of it in that regard, but I don't know, like it felt deserving. I've seen it thrown around and I sort of agree with it. The next time we get the two of them, it's for the title.
I don't know how you can top what we saw there on Saturday.
If you score? It's 3-1 swerve, 2-1?
3-1 swerve.
So Hangman ends up with the belt and then drops it to Swerve, and that's the end of it?
It was like there was a draw between them two also. You remember this, right?
Yeah.
Remember there's a draw between them?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the storyline was Hangman saying, "Hey, you can't beat me."
Right.
Yeah.
Count Swerve, you can't beat me. Just for brevity, I'll just say this. Like, it didn't bother me. What bothers me is the lack of continuity in AEW, in which if that's going to be the most violent match, it's lights out. I understand. But you also had a wrestler try to murder a wrestler on the same card. If you can't stretch this violence out, why do you put it all in the same card? You had Moxley trying to actually kill Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, that happened also.
And that was mild compared to what we saw in the Lights Out match. So it's like...
Yeah, I mean, even milder was Stat taking thumbtacks to the crotch area. Like,
yes, also part of the violence. Yeah. So I don't know.
You can... Yeah, and I guess that was my hesitation, I guess, when we talked about it earlier, All In, All Out, which was better.
Yeah.
I understand not every wrestling match has to be for everyone. And honestly, it's kind of what I enjoy about AEW. They do put on a number of different matches and it can be different. But yeah, if you're going to have the ultra violent blow off feud because you have this blood feud going on between, you know, then you have to kind of tamper everything else back, right? You got to you can't have Mox just has to put him in, you know, the bulldog or whatever to just kind of choke out Danielson, not use the paper or the plastic bag.
Yep.
I mean, I don't get it. Garcia MJF was a great way to start the card. The 8-man tag on Collision on Friday. On Collision.
Yeah, it was Friday. Collision was special Collision on Friday. That's why you're confused.
Yeah, so I thought that was good as well.
Some non-All Outs that I had, Ricochet and Guevara from last night. I was happy to watch that one. And
how far has Sammy fallen?
Whew. I know. But maybe this is the rehab tour. I don't know. And then from Monday, I enjoyed Finn versus Rey.
Very good.
Like, Finn versus Rey was good, yes. Work. Like that was the one WWE match that I certainly had on my list as well.
You had to have Guevara against Ricochet because they wrestled at PWG. so we got to put that match on because of the people that watch PWG, the 500 people that were there. Yeah. Do you really need that match? Do you need that Wednesday? Not necessarily.
No.
And by the way, I can send you that match. It was 30 minutes with a classic. Compared to the confined 8 or 9 minutes that they had in the match.
Ricochet costs them at Arthur Ashe, right?
Yes. Can you do it that way?
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Kind of seems the way to go. Because, I mean, part of the storyline, again, of, you know, part of the reason I think he wanted to say initially no Ospreay is because he wanted to keep his eye on Ricochet. Now he's taking his eye off of Ricochet, and Ricochet is going to make him pay.
I'm good with that.
I like that. I like that.
It's kind of the thought that I initially had after seeing that. So, again, we just went through what was kind of a, you know, just a big sprint of pay-per-views or PLEs, whatever you want to call them. Have a little bit of a break on those with Bad Blood coming up and then Wrestle Dream certainly all happening in October, but there's still plenty of things happening in the world of professional wrestling. So make sure you're checking out all of our content that we put up on YouTube, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling for all the interviews, all the different things that we put up there. And we'll be back next week to talk about everything in the world of pro wrestling on GKW.